there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
He's done it again, back-to-back national titles. He's only been at UConn for six seasons. He's Danny Hurley back on the program. How do you feel?
Probably a bunch of things. At times probably exhausted. At other times, great elation. At other times, I don't love uncertainty in terms of the roster. So my mind drifts to, what the team's going to look like moving forward. So, just kind of like all over the place. But intermittently, starting to appreciate what we did a lot more when you kind of get those quiet alone time.
Were you dealing with the transfer portal during the tournament?
Yeah, I think we were talking about it openly with the team, and we had a little bit of an issue last year with with players. I think beginning that process before the season ended. We just talked openly to the younger players, and hey, we know the portal's open, but we got a chance to do something special, and. You're not missing anything. The portal's going to be open for a long time, and it's going to be total chaos. So if that's the direction you want to go, just honor the season and what we're trying to do historically, and just wait.
Why don't we wait to open the transfer portal until after the tournament?
I don't know. I think obviously it makes a ton of sense. Maybe it's the college basketball's version of giving the best draft picks to the worst teams. So the teams whose seasons are over, they get a chance to, while the really good teams are busy playing, they have an opportunity. So maybe it's they're following the model of pro sports leagues in their drafts.
Do you guys, have you kind of created the blueprint here, do you think, for what college basketball, successful college basketball should be and how to build a roster?
It's probably hard to argue against it. Just, the kind of the balance between young players that you recruit out of high school, giving you a boost. And then obviously having players that you player develop, obviously freshman to sophomore year, big jump, sophomore to junior year, big jump. And then strategically using a portal. And then obviously... we've got the great resources, but I don't think players come here. Maybe the NIL may be the third or fourth reason why players come here. Maybe the fifth reason why players come here. If it's the primary reason why players come to your program, it's going to be hard to build a championship culture.
How do you think history is going to look at these back-to-back champs?
Well, I think regardless of how these guys' NBA careers go, you look at the analytics. No one has dominated an NCAA tournament the way our team did this year. And I think we're top five the last 2 years in terms of domination. But the overall story, the analytics tell obviously a great story about how great this year's team was. It feels like one of the best in the last 25, 30 years based on the efficiency and the quality that we played at. But overall, when you look at it, it's going to depend on how these guys' NBA careers pan out. Unfortunately, we'll be tied to how this team is viewed. So we need Kling Kong and these other guys to go have great careers.
How would your team, whichever team you want to pick, do against your brother's Duke championship teams?
Well, it would have stacked up even better if we were able to bring Hawkins back and Sonogo back and Andre Jackson back to this team. But, you know, like, look at just how we were the number one offense in the country. We were one of the top defenses in the country. We were a great rebounding team. All five of our starters, it feels like, have a great chance to play in the NBA / lottery picks / you know, so I think it would have been a great game. Obviously, you know, the stopping their point guard on Duke would have been the biggest challenge because Bob is the greatest point guard to ever play in college. So,
oh, you're sucking up to your brother here, aren't you?
Yeah, that's I've done it my whole life. Big bro is always taking care of me, Dan. So it's the least I could do.
When do you come up with the strategy to let Edie score as much as he wants to score, but you're going to shut down the perimeter?
Well, those scouting things, and obviously it was a quick turnaround from the Alabama game. We had a lot more time to prepare for Alabama than we did for Purdue. That was like a 36-hour turnaround in terms of being ready. So with Kamani Young and Luke Murray, two of the best coaches in the country that alternate scouts, you know, they lay out the game plan, or at least what they would like to do. And then obviously I got to make the ultimate decision on whether I want to go with it. Luke presented, I think, an awesome game plan. He laid it out to the staff, and in the first 10 minutes, when Edie was kind of, you know, having his way in those one-on-ones, I think there might have been a timeout at the under 12 where the staff was starting to attack Luke's plan. but, you know, we trust each other here. And, you know, and obviously, you know, for the next 20 minutes before Donovan got in foul trouble, he won a lot more of those one-on-one battles versus Edie. And then obviously, you know, we were able to take control. But, you know, Luke was steadfast, and as we were waffling.
He's Dan Hurley, UConn head coach, back-to-back championships. What would make you leave Connecticut?
Maybe just burnout at this point for me, just, you know, pushing too hard and probably, you know, just breaking down at some point, just because you just can't keep up the intensity and the energy and you know, the output. And then maybe down the road, if I could grow up a little bit, mature a little bit with the emotions, maybe the NBA, you know, down the road.
Why do you want to do that to yourself? Go to the NBA?
Well, you know, I think college has become like the G League. In a way. I mean, it's you know, not that's obviously tongue in cheek, but you know, a lot of the college game has changed. You know, you win a national championship, and obviously we're going to do things, go to White House, do these. We had the parade, we do these things, but you're basically right into free agency frenzy. So you know, it's I'm more worried about burnout than I am going to the NBA.
What was the conversation like when Kentucky called?
It was really, you know, I had a brief conversation with my agent maybe on Sunday as that news was breaking, and it was, would you have an interest if they call? And, you know, my answer, you know, to that was no. I'm you know, I'm the head coach at the best program in the country. Why would I leave the best program in the country, even if another place is really good or is great? But your agent wants you to try to deflect, you know, because you're at UConn, you want to reward your staff, you want to increase the resources in your program. So your agent is kind of telling you, hey, you know, don't say you're interested, but don't say no, because I got to deal with the UConn people on a lot of things.
Well, yeah, you got to play the game. Even though you want to stay at UConn, you have to give the at least maybe the thought that, you know what, maybe somebody else is going to love me a little bit more.
So I looked like a donkey. I pinned it on my wife. I was evasive, but it was, I looked like a donkey, the way I was answering things. But privately, all the players, I talked to them about it, and yeah, they understood.
When you're out watching these kids in high school and you're seeing everybody wants to be Steph Curry, as a coach, you know, tough-minded, disciplined, like, how nervous does that make you when you see somebody who is jacking from, you know, 30 feet away?
Yeah, you just walk away and go, you know, go find somebody else. You go find somebody, you know, that has the traits, obviously the talent piece, where they're talented enough. But you really, I study these kids when I go to the AAU games. I don't play with my phone. I hate my phone. I watch. I watch how these players interact with their coaches, with their teammates. I watch their parents in the stands. Mm. I watch to see if their parents are super critical of their coaches, because if they kill all their coaches and they're in four or five different high schools and they change travel teams, they're just going to do the same thing to you. So, you know, you just evaluate the person and the people around the person.
Do you get a vacation?
I think we just looked at May, middle of May. I think you're going to, I think there's like a 2 or 3 day window where it's Jersey Shore time. So, but yeah, I mean, we're going to go about a month here with players that have got to make NBA decisions. You know, we're portaling like everybody else. You know, and then obviously we've got to start recruiting the next recruiting class so that, this isn't like coaching in the NBA when the season's over. You just go away and the front office takes over. You know, we are the front office.
You know, it feels like the coaching aspect of this is the easier part of all of this. It's crazy to say that, but it feels that way.
Yeah, it's. I've said it for years, man. You know, Dan, it's like the best part of the day is practice time. The most fun part and the most natural part is watching, is absorbing your opponent's film and pregame locker room. I mean, that's the part that feels the best, makes the most sense. Once you start getting into NIL valuation negotiations and obviously, you know, it's hard, I guess, when you're talking to players in your own program and you've got to convince them that it's in their best interest to stay in the best program in the country. Like, feels like that should go without saying that you should stay in the best program in the country.
Let's say you're recruiting me. When can I bring up NIL when it doesn't make you nervous about what my priorities are?
Well, once you're convinced that you want to come to UConn, you know, we'll go through a visit and it'll never come up, or maybe it's the last thing that comes up. Or it's got to be a situation where you love the culture, you love the style of play. You know, myself and the coaching staff are the people that you want to play for. You love the team and you want to be a part of that locker room. You want to play in the Big East and you love our, you know, you love our player development and the holistic approach that we take to our players. And then the NIL has got to be, you know, good enough for you. But I think, you know, right now, like what UConn brings to the table in terms of, you know, we're going to teach you how to fish, which is going to last you a lifetime. And we're not just going to kind of throw you fish that's going to feed you for a day. And we want people that, you know, that have that balance and that perspective where they're not trying to go to the highest bidder. They're looking for the best combination of NIL and program to excel in.
Okay, but if I say all those things, I love the culture, I want to be here, you know, I'm buying in, I'm going to play defense, I'm going to play hard, and I'd like $500,000. Like, can I do it that way?
As long as it's reasonable and you know, and it lines up with, you know, I guess, you know, close to what the market is, you know, but there's a lot of unreasonable, there's a lot of unreasonable numbers.
Okay, give me an unreasonable number. No names, just an unreasonable number.
I think I heard 1.3 from a collective.
Okay.
You know, last year, and you know, I'm not sure that that is the that is what the spirit of NIL was. I think the spirit of NIL was like, I take advantage of name, image, and likeness in the manner of like the way Donovan Clingan did this year. You know, huge personality, incredible player on the court, and then what he did this year in endorsements off the court. I don't think I could share that number with you, because the IRS is going to be coming for me.
Well, no, he has to report it to the IRS anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, listen, these kids, they bring a lot of value. Obviously, March Madness, you know, brings, you know, billions of dollars or whatever that number is. I think, you know, when we get to revenue sharing and contracts, I think that's going to be a happy day for a lot of coaches. I think for a lot of players, because I think a lot of schools, too, they embellish the number for players, and then they don't come through on the promise too. So kids end up picking a worse school because they think it's more money. And then a lot of the collectives, you know, or some of the collectives actually don't even come through.
I got 2 years of eligibility left. No, I'm just saying. Like, you took your son. I mean, you should be able to take me, right?
Well, you know, we don't rely on players that are electrifying off the dribble, which is what I don't think you are. I actually think you have a chance to play in our system because, you know, we're going to move you around off the ball. We're going to help you to get shots.
Is this a verbal offer, Coach? I just want to make sure.
I think you could help our brand a lot.
You think I could?
Bring in NIL for the good players. So if I've got to use my 13th scholarship, that guy's not going to play anyway. So,
and I don't need NIL.
That's, you're going to bring NIL.
I am bringing NIL. That's my nickname. I'm NIL.
NIL Dan.
Let me know when practice starts, Coach. I'll be there.
All right. June 1.
All right. June 1. Hey, thank you, bud.
Later, Dan. Appreciate you.
Bro. That's Dan Hurley, head basketball coach. Sounded like an offer to me.
You're in. I think you're in.
Sound like an offer. Marvin, now I'm.
Come on.
I'm
one of your family now. Yeah. Let's go. UConn Magazine, come back.
Yeah. I'm going to be the centerfold in UConn Magazine. Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
Let's stretch this out. Let's do the table, the three hats. You fake the Syracuse hat. You fake the Seton Hall hat.
Well, never Seton Hall.
Well, because of coach. There's no reason to be ugly about it, okay?
I mean, they didn't make the tournament.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, they won the NIT.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I mean, either way, you're getting a banner. Yeah, that's right. Put it up in Walsh.
Let's take a break here. Back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Two NBA insiders podcasting twice a week to plug you right into the NBA grapevine.
All happening in only one place. This League Uncut. The new NBA podcast with me, Chris Haynes.
And me, Mark Stein.
Join us as we team up to expound on everything we're covering, hearing, and chasing.
Listen to This League Uncut with Chris Haynes and Mark Stein
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Got Randy Johnson, Hall of Famer, set to join us. Now, playing in the National League, he probably had 400 or 500 at-bats in his career, Paulie?
Yeah, Randy Johnson played a long time in the NL, both Montreal and then mostly with Arizona. I got 691 plate appearances.
Okay, let's guess more home runs for Randy Johnson. I think he batted 100, you know, right around 100 or something.
125.
Like 125, yeah. Shortchanging. Okay, so big unit, more home runs or stolen bases? Ooh. All right.
You guys guess.
Todd?
I'm going to say he stole a few more bases than dingers.
Okay. Seton?
I'm going dingers.
Okay. Marvin?
Home runs.
Paulie?
I have one career home run for Randy Johnson.
Ooh.
It was back in 03. Good year for his
last
year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big stick that year.
Yeah.
He hit .94 that year. I have zero career stolen bases, Dan.
Hmm. Let's bring in Randy Johnson. No stolen bases. Who'd you hit the home run off of?
Off of Doug Davis in Milwaukee. And then later, I think the following year, we became teammates. So, We had a lot to talk about on the golf course.
Do you remember though what pitch? I mean, you guys always remember what the count was and what the pitch was.
You know, the game. I think the game was tied then. You know, I think it was 1-1. So with my game face on, I took it very seriously. You know, I didn't milk it like the players now. I ran around the bases, but they showed the dugout. In the dugout, all my teammates were more happy than I was.
Would you throw at somebody if they tried to bunt on you? Nolan Ryan used to do that, but did you take offense?
I got a lot of stories from him. You know, we worked together on my mechanics with Tom House, and then we did some videos together. And now being in the Hall of Fame with him, you know, we have a lot of time to talk And actually, I have a lot of time to talk with a lot of the great pitchers, some that are no longer with us, but I've had the opportunity to pick their brain and get to meet them and ask them what it was like to play back in the day. I think there was a little bit of, you know, I guess everybody said I was kind of surly on the day that I pitched. I don't know why, but I guess that would be a definition. And I guess I think the one encounter I had that really tells you about I am a nice guy was a confrontation that I had with a friend, Kenny Lofton, a left-handed hitter. And it's on YouTube, and I saw it recently. Someone showed it, and I threw a fastball, and I didn't finish the pitch up, so it kind of sailed up and into him. It was a slider that kind of backed up. It didn't break it that well, and so it kind of came up and into him on a slider, and he kind of flopping around the home plate there like it almost hit him or something. And I'm yelling on them at the mound. You can read my lips. That was a slider. And so the benches, go back into the dugout and everything is restored. And then I throw him a fastball up and in. And I go, that was a fastball.
We're talking to Randy Johnson, Hall of Famer, joining us on behalf of DirecTV. The bird encounter 23 years ago, and Randy wants to make things right together with DirecTV. Randy, they created a series of bird sanctuaries mimicking a baseball stadium built atop DirecTV satellite dishes. And you have an opportunity. Baseball fans can go to DirecTV.com/bird ballparks and enter for a chance to win your own stadium sanctuary.
You could have a chance to win the Millet Mullet, a rendition of what I was wearing in the commercial, or your own bird ballpark, because DirecTV now is satellite free. So it was a great partnership that came up a couple of months ago. They asked if I would like to right the ship with the dead bird and be able to move forward in life and feel good about myself and get PETA off my back. And I said, sure. And so I just thought, what took so long to do something like this?
Okay, but does the bird's estate get anything from this, Randy?
Well, they get lifetime season tickets.
Oh, they do.
So the birds can come and watch. they get their own MLB package, I guess.
Oh, I see. Okay, how often are you asked about that?
I played 22 years in the major leagues, and it's the one thing that I'm remembered for. And I don't mind. But a lot of times when I'm walking somewhere and someone recognizes me, it won't be one of the accomplishments that maybe I had, but it will be, oh, you're the guy that killed the bird. Yeah. So it still comes up a lot after 23 years.
But I think you're underrated because of this. I think because of your height. John Kruk in the All-Star game, the bird, that people, like I even went back looking at the stat, you have 5 Cy Youngs. I think 4 in a row. I mean,
I won 300 games. I've got almost 5,000 strikeouts.
But it feels...
I got a home run.
You did. You hit a bomb is what you hit. But it feels like because of all these things, that we don't focus in on your career as much as, I mean, your World Series MVP, but it's, hey, oh, that's the tall pitcher. Oh, that's the guy who threw really hard and, John Kruk turned his batting helmet around. Or it's like Shaq.
Well, you know what, Dan? Maybe one day you should have a Randy Johnson day and just go through all my accomplishments and write the ship.
This is it, Randy. This is the Randy Johnson day.
Okay, here we are.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, when you hit that bird and it went like poof, did you even know what you did?
No, it was in spring training down in Tucson. The Diamondbacks are now up in Scottsdale, like all the other teams are. There is no more spring training down in Tucson, Arizona. So we were down at Tucson Electric Park. I was pitching in a day game there. The only reason it was even caught on camera is because our videographer had a little camcorder out in center field for the hitters. and for me, so I could watch my mechanics and the hitters could do the same. That's the only reason that was even captured on TV, on video. And when I initially threw the pitch, I throw the pitch, I hit the bird, and then I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of stunned, you know, like what happened? I thought initially someone had thrown something maybe from a dugout or the stands. And, you know, I didn't know really what it was initially until Jeff Kent, who was on the on-deck circle with the San Francisco Giants, the bird, the impact of the bird actually knocked him over by the bird over by the on-deck circle, and he kind of picked it up, and then I think everybody kind of knew what was going on then. So, but yeah, it all happened so fast.
I can't imagine if you're coming up now that somebody's going to say to you, hey, we need you to go five innings, maybe six innings, but pitchers nowadays, you guys don't go eight or nine.
I've talked about it a little bit, and I tried to be as positive as I could about it, and I mean it in a positive way, that I think that today's pitcher, and I'm not talking about the pitchers that have been, you know, 10 plus years, because they weren't a part of that. I think those guys, when they were young pitchers, they were had the ability to go deeper into the games. This whole regimen about analytics and all that is really kind of picked up in the, you know, and it's steamrolling now. And I think that the pitchers of today, you know, the last 5 years that are trying to make their mark in the game, I don't think that they're going to be as good as they can possibly be. And I mean that in a positive way. That because there's pitch counts and turning the lineup over comes into play, I think, and bullpens are, you know, a big deal now by the way they use bullpens. You're not going to be able to pitch your way out of a problem. You're not going to be able to see the mentality, the mental mentality and the physical attributes you have to get through an inning like that. You're going to come out, they're going to go to the bullpen, and you're never going to develop the demeanor of what it takes to get through an inning like that. And maybe throw those 10 more extra stressful pitches opposed to non-stress pitches.
Yeah.
And I think you're not going to go deep. The pitchers aren't going to go deeper in the game, which means, Dan, that there's not going to be a lot of 20-game winners like there was in the past, because when you go 7 to 8, maybe even a complete game every once in a while, you know, you got to get the opposing starting pitcher out of the game because he's pitching so well. And then when you get to their bullpen, that's when you're able to maybe scratch a run across and maybe you win 2-1 or 1-0. And you do that late in the game, and so now you've picked up a win. And that one or two wins like that at the end of the year, now you've gone from 18 to maybe 20 wins, or from, you know, 200 and something wins to 300 over your career. And so I just feel like starting pitchers, you know, because the leash is a little bit shorter, because you're not seeing pitchers throw 125, 135 pitches. It's usually about a 95 to 110, and that usually takes you to about 5 or 6 innings. You're not going to get the opportunity. There's too much game left. Unless it's a blowout, you're not going to get a lot of opportunities to win ball games.
We're talking to Randy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, joining us on behalf of DirecTV. Do you have albums back there behind you?
Lots of albums, lots of LPs.
Okay, if you had to grab one album when you get out of the house, what would you grab?
Oh, man, there's so many, but if I just grabbed, how about if I just grab like a whole stack, and I have them like in punk rock, in mobile fidelity, in like prog rock. Oh, here we go. We got,
Yes. Is that Fragile?
We just bought Van Halen One Step, so it's supposed to be, it's from the master recording redone, and then we got Steely Dan.
Ooh.
And then we got, you know, what else we got over here? We got We got some punk rock stuff, and then we got, you know, then we got Jethro Tull. What is this? Oh, we got Tom Petty, and then we got, you know, stuff from the 60s and 70s, you know, and then we, yeah, we got it all. We got it all.
If I said that you could have had a career for 20 years or more being a drummer, let's say you could have been the drummer for Rush, or you just are a fan of Rush and you still have your baseball career. If I said I'll take away your baseball career, but you've been the drummer for Rush for 30 years.
Well, if I don't have a baseball career, I want to be able to do something in life. I mean,
but you have to give it up. You have to give that up. It doesn't exist. I'm talking to Randy Johnson, the drummer for Rush right now.
Would I do that? No, I didn't really know about drumming when I was 7 or 8 years old, but I already knew about pitching. Mm. I already knew about Vida Blue, you know, the person that I looked up to because I grew up outside of the Bay Area and he was, you know, playing for the Oakland A's. I love all that music. I love drumming. I love the band Rush. I love lots of rock and roll bands.
Okay, give me your top five drummers. Aside from Neil with Rush, give me five of your favorite drummers.
John Bonham, Ginger Baker, Buddy Rich, Keith Moon. I think that's five right there. John, and we're going in all different kinds of genre. Buddy Rich is, I think, a lot of people look to him as probably, you know, one of the finest drummers and best drummers of all time. And then you get into the rock and roll and everybody kind of, it's either, you know, I mean, really, what really defines the best drummer? It's kind of like you saying, you know, who is the best pitcher? Well, what era are we talking about? You can't compare Cy Young back in the early 1900s to Greg Maddux. That's not fair, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess you could do it a little bit easier with drumming, but, you know, there's lots of different genres, and I think, you know, you'd be surprised those jazz drummers like Buddy Rich could probably do a lot of the stuff that rock and roll drummers could do, but rock and roll drummers can't do what Buddy Rich was doing.
It's great to talk to you, and seems like you're doing well. So
I'm doing okay. I'm five months removed from full knee replacement, so I'm on the disabled list now. But look for me coming out of a bullpen somewhere after the All-Star break.
Oh, great to talk to you again, Randy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dan. I appreciate it.
That's Randy Johnson, Hall of Famer, and DirecTV has launched For the Birds. It's a national advertising campaign.
Snarky.
Yes. So Randy wants to make things right with that poor bird that he killed in spring training. And you can go to directtv.com /birdballparks. Chance to win your own stadium sanctuary there. Yes, Todd.
For someone that seems so scary and intimidating to watch him on the mound, it's just amazing how lovable and likable the guy is, just the way you're just having a conversation with him. It's a total 180.
His career is over. There's nothing to be upset about. And he did say, you know, people said I was surly on days I was pitching. I experienced that firsthand. In Chicago, Diamondbacks were playing. I go in to see Mark Grace and Luis Gonzalez, and Randy's pitching that day. So you go into the locker room. I go to the right. Grace is there and Luis Gonzalez. And they go, hey, go down there and say hello to Unit. And Randy is down there at his locker. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm Mr. SportsCenter. Yeah, let me walk down there. Let me do Randy a favor. I'll go down there and say hello to him. And I walked down there. And I said, hey, Randy. Didn't turn around. I said, hey, Randy, Dan Patrick, SportsCenter. And he turns around and he goes, so? And I hear Mark Grace and Luis Gonzalez dying laughing. And I walk back and I said, you SOB. And they go, you don't approach. Even they were saying the teammates didn't approach Randy Johnson on the day that he was pitching. So
be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
By the way, we mentioned Bob Uecker on the show. Word got to Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker reaches out to me, and he said, what am I missing? And I said, nothing. We just mentioned your name. And he said, oh, is everything good? And I go, yeah. And I think he thought I was checking in on him. I did it one time, and he said, are you checking on me to see if I'm still alive? And I said, no, but I'm glad you are. So the great Bob Uecker did reach out late yesterday. All right, we'll get to more phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. He's a Hall of Famer. He's Al Michaels, Thursday Night Football, play-by-play on Amazon. Al, great to see you again. How's morale?
I'm so happy to fill this window of opportunity for you, as always. It's so funny. You mentioned Bob Uecker, and I know when you promoted the fact I was going to be on the show, you called me Albino. But that was the name Dennis Miller gave to me. I much prefer Alfalfa, which is the name Bob Uecker gave to me in 1982 and was stolen by Howard Cosell.
God, you go back to Uecker and the Miller Lite commercials and how when he was on with Johnny Carson, and like he was killing it when he was on with Carson.
I think Johnny Carson actually said at one point, maybe he wrote about it in a book, that he put Uecker, I think, in the top five of the people he loved to interview. I think Don Rickles would be in there, too. I mean, Don Rickles is clearly the funniest man I have ever met. And Bob Uecker, I mean, he's right in that pantheon. I mean, Uecker would come. I think I've told you the story before, but I was doing a game with Uecker and Cosell in the early 80s. And, you know, Howard wanted a bunt in a situation where you'd never bunt. And Uecker's trying to talk him off of it, but, you know, very softly and kindly. And now Howard's going to play with him again. And he says, all right, Uke, you don't have to be so truculent. You do know what truculent means, don't you? And without hesitation, Uecker says, Howard, of course, if you had a truck and I borrowed it, it would be a truculent. And I mean, not only was Uecker funny, but Uecker was quick. He was, you know, somebody would say something and a second later, bango.
I love that he said, you know, catching a knuckleball is easy. You just wait till it stops rolling.
Right. And also, I mean, he has so many great lines. You know, there was a $5,000 bonus that was offered when he signed. He said, well, my father couldn't afford that much. So I love Bob Uecker. I just love the guy.
Did you ever meet Johnny Carson?
I met him very briefly at a restaurant. I was never on his show. No. Would have loved it at that point, but I know that, you know, our good buddy Bob Costas, one of his the things that he wanted to do before his career was over, to get on the Carson show, and I think he did that last week. But no, I just met him once in a restaurant. End of story.
All right, let me set up the premise, because we thought of you, the most greatest player in sports history. So we created, you know, a new phrase here, the most greatest players, because we were talking about Wayne Gretzky. You know, when you look at dominance in your sport, 8 Hart trophies. I mean, what he did is Ruthian in his sport. But if you were going to give me your top 5 most greatest players in sports history, you know, depending on whatever sport you want to pick.
Well, you know, it's funny because ESPN at the end of the 20th century, 1999, they did the 30 for 30 and they picked the top 100 athletes of the 20th century. And I was on a panel, and I had to pick them 1 through 100. It was hard because, you know, there were so many. I actually went with Jim Thorpe because there was no television, start of the century, multiple Olympic medalist, gold medalist, played professional baseball, played professional football. But, you know, pre-television age, radio was still in its infancy. But you're right about, now you mentioned the two people who I thought about, Babe Ruth, who, of course, would, you know, 1 year, I think 1921, he had 59 home runs to lead the league. The next guy hit something like 24. So it was, you know, pretty much like Gretzky. Wayne was the same way. You know, Wayne would lead in goals by a margin of 2.5 to 1. So I put, you know, Wayne in there, Ruth certainly. Now you get to basketball, and so many, you know, I go back when I'm in high school, I saw Elgin Baylor play. Elgin Baylor was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan. The game was played so differently at that point. So you had Michael. I love, you know, living in L.A. I saw a ton of Kobe. And I mean, I got to put Kobe right up there next to Michael. You can argue that till, you know, till your death as to who was the better guy. Everybody, for the most part, would say Michael, but they were both off the charts fantastic. I think for football, there were so many great quarterbacks. But I, for my football player, believe it or not, I put in Jerry Rice, because Rice did that same thing to the record book that Gretzky and Ruth did. Mm-hmm. He was so much better than everybody at that particular time. And while we're on the subject of Gretzky, I have to say something to you, Dan, because, you know, a lot of people obviously don't follow hockey, but as a hockey maniac, Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers, without question, the best player I've seen since Wayne. And I know it's heresy to say, is he better than Wayne? Wow. But I ran into Grant Fuhr, who was the goalie on those Edmonton teams in the 80s. So he would know. And I said to Grant, it's heresy. Is McDavid better than Gretzky? He had a great answer. He said, not yet.
Oh, wow.
He said Wayne made everybody around him better. But McDavid is, I love, you know, I watch Edmonton like, you know, on the NHL Plus, whatever it is, network, just to see him play. Anyway, so there you would have me, and then if you're only talking about teams, you know, you're eliminating, like, boxers. I think Muhammad Ali actually won that thing, by the way, if memory serves.
No, Jordan won it.
Did Jordan win it? And where did Ali finish? He had to finish in the top 3 or so.
I think Secretariat was up there.
Wow.
Yes. And I forgot that. All people were so upset because I hosted that. Each week I'd reveal, you know, who was number 17. And I remember when we revealed that Secretariat was one of the top 50 athletes of all time. Oh, people went through the roof. Paulie, you have the top five?
Yeah, the top five ESPN's greatest North American athletes. Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Wayne Gretzky. Then it goes to Jesse Owens, Jim Thorpe, etc.
I would put Jackie Robinson there. I think Jackie is the greatest athlete of all time for this reason. I'm going to add importance there. What he went through to do what he was doing. Baseball wasn't his best sport. He could have played football. He played football at UCLA, ran track. So he was also a basketball player at UCLA. So if I look at all four sports that he might have been able to play professionally, and by the way, you played in baseball, you broke the color barrier, you had teammates who didn't even want you on the field at that time, and you became a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's no question as to the importance of Jackie Robinson and what he meant. But again, you go into this barroom argument. And by the way, why is it called a barroom? You ever say, well, I'm going to meet you in the barroom, right? I'm going to meet you in the bar, right?
Yeah.
I always love that phrase, barroom argument.
And it's a barroom brawl.
It's a barroom brawl, right?
Yes.
Except for a bar brawl.
Yeah.
Where did that start? Yeah, I mean, in terms of significance and what he's meant to sports and what he meant to, you know, sports intertwined with society and a lot of everything else, you know, Robinson is there. But then again, you know, somebody's got to be number one. So pick your number one. And Jordan's a good answer.
Yeah, I remember we were trying to get him to do an interview. And This is right up to the very end. We're trying to get Jordan to sit down and do an interview. They want to put together his moment, and Mike didn't want to do it. And I remember at the time, Tim Duncan was playing in the NBA Finals, and he wanted to know who was going to be the number one person. He gets done. He just beat the Knicks. He comes into the interview room because I said, look, if you win the NBA title, I'll tell you. He just won the title. He walks in. He goes, who's number one? And I go, well, you guys are. He goes, no, who's number one? And I said, Michael Jordan. And then he goes, okay. Like that, for some reason, he really wanted to know. But, I Mike doesn't like reflecting back. He doesn't do a lot of these interviews. I mean, he did The Last Dance. And I think The Last Dance felt like it was a reminder to those who think LeBron or Kobe, these other modern-day players, are on his level. I think that's part of the reason why he did that documentary.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think he knew at that point because, I mean, nobody really knew that they were doing that. And their behind-the-scenes footage and the audio was you watched it and went, wow, where'd they get that? How'd they do that? So he knew what he had in mind for maybe his legacy. But you're right. He did very few interviews, as did Kobe. Kobe didn't do that many interviews either during that period of time. So they were very selective.
He's Al Michaels, the Hall of Famer. Do you remember your first NFL game that you called?
I certainly do. So I'm doing the Cincinnati Reds during the baseball season. And then NBC called me in 1971, my first year at Cincinnati, and said, can you do a regional NFL game on October 3rd, 1971? We want you to go to Minnesota and do Buffalo against Minnesota. And in those years, the home team was blacked out, so it wasn't even shown in Minneapolis. It only went to Buffalo. It's during the baseball playoffs, which was why I got the job, because Kurt Gowdy and Jim Simpson were doing the playoffs that year. So Jay Randolph moved to number one, and I came in to do the last game. So not only does it only go to Buffalo, it doesn't even go to the regular NBC station. It goes to a UHF station in Buffalo. So Minnesota wins the game 19-0. Bud Grant was the coach. And in that game, O.J. Simpson was the running back, and Al Cowlings was the defensive lineman in that game. You can look it up.
Yeah.
So that's how I broke in. And then 2 weeks later, I did the Buffalo at the Jets at Shea Stadium, same kind of thing. New York is blacked out. It's during the baseball postseason. So I go all the way back to 1971, doing my first NFL game.
Toughest sport, or how about the easiest sport to do play-by-play in?
The easiest? Well, I built my career around baseball, so it was so comfortable. And it's a different sport to do, obviously. You have some time. It's more relaxing and all you know. So, I mean, baseball was easy for me. And then a ton of football. You know, I've done 900 NFL games now and probably a couple hundred college games. So, you know, I get how to do football. Hockey is the hardest. Without question, hockey on radio is the hardest, because if you're in your car, you can picture a baseball game. This team's at bat, this team's in the field. In football, this team has the ball, this team is on defense. In basketball, even though there's a lot of turnovers, you know who has the ball. In hockey, the change of possession is so quick and so rapid. And people, you know, you don't get to see, like if you have, you're a fan of the Rangers, but they're playing Winnipeg, you know, you know who your guys are. You have no idea who the other guys are. So I think, you know, guys who do hockey on radio very well have a great deal of respect for me, because I think it's the toughest.
How's your eyesight?
My eyesight is pretty good. I wear a daily contact lens in my right eye.
But you have to have good eyesight to do play-by-play, don't you?
You do. Oh, for sure. But again, these days, the coverage is so great that I think very often you're calling the game off the monitor, because you can see the game a lot better off the monitor than you can if you're sitting, you know, high up. I mean, some of the broadcast vantage points are great, like Kansas City, even New York. You're kind of like right over the field and you feel like you're right there. And then you get to other places where you're like in the top of the upper deck. I remember Candlestick Park when the 49ers played there. The football broadcast booth was so high, I once said, I couldn't resist myself. I said, you're actually looking down on the blimp. I mean, it was ridiculous. So you had to call the game off the monitor in those years. You know, I try to do it both ways. I try to, you know, watch how they're lined up with my naked eye, see how the play begins. Then you go to the monitor, because you're going to see it a lot better off the monitor.
Yeah, I always admired what Doc Emmerich did.
Tremendous.
But to do it on TV where it's so fast-paced, but you don't have to describe all the action, because you want to be fair to the audience that you don't say everything that you see. But when it comes to radio, and that's the tricky part of, you can see it, I don't have to say it, but what am I going to say to kind of complement what you're watching? How difficult was that for you at any time?
Yeah, well, I didn't do that much hockey, but you know.
Well, any sport, though, like you're... Right. We get to see, and you assume your audience is knowledgeable, and then how much do you tell them what they're actually seeing?
Well, first of all, I mean, there's a difference between announcing a football game on television and on radio. On radio, you need to use every verb. Nobody can see anything. Mm-hmm. On television, I talk about very often using captions and ellipses. You see the play. You don't have to necessarily use the verb, because the verb becomes a visual to the fan. So in football, and same thing basically in baseball, and roughly the same in basketball. Hockey is a different animal, because in hockey, you know, and Doc Emmerich had it down perfectly. He almost did a radio call on television, not exactly, but you know, you want to keep up with the pace. The pace of the game is so fast, yeah. And back and forth, and change of possession, and almost scoring. So it's hockey would be the closest to combining radio with television. The other sports are vastly different.
Would you rather be great or entertaining?
Well, I think they go hand in hand, Dan.
Well, let's say you could be Vince Carter.
Yep.
Or Tim Duncan.
Good question. I'd like to be a hybrid.
That's not an answer, Al.
No, who had the better career? I mean,
Tim.
Yeah, for sure. No question about it. And it's funny, because you know who reminded me of Tim? Pete Sampras. And I remember once after Pete retired, and you know, Pete lives out here, and I played a lot of golf with him through the years. Like, we were walking down the fairway at one point, a couple of years after we retired, and he was a little worried about becoming not as relevant in retirement. And I said to him, you remind me of Tim Duncan. I think you'll only be appreciated to the fullest extent after you're gone. And they were the same kind of people, right? Not necessarily gregarious, obviously, or entertaining, but tremendous, tremendous.
You didn't answer the question. Didn't answer the question.
Vince Carter or Duncan, what can I tell you? Yeah, Duncan won championships and all that. Vince was great to watch. But, you know, Duncan, I mean, what are you playing the game for? You're playing the game to win the game. And, you know, look at Duncan's record. Unbelievable.
Great to talk to you. Hopefully we didn't, slow down your golf game today.
Listen, I have to tell you one thing. The last golf tip you gave me.
Johnny Miller.
So it worked for about 3 holes. But Dan, the problem right now is when I try to put that in my head, what I do is I go, Johnny Miller.
Johnny Miller. Slow down your swing.
Johnny Miller. I know. It's like,
thank you, Al.
All right.
Great to talk to you, buddy.
Dan, I'll be good, Finn.
That's Al Michaels.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The brilliant EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz, available with digital light technology. So smart, even the headlamps are thinking. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQE-SUV.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.